Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, and while you're locating that in your copy of the Scripture, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had some good, tough troubles come into your life? Maybe you're in the process of one. Maybe you're walking through a time in your life, you're in a crisis, and maybe you're in trouble because somebody else has brought some trouble into your life. You're trying to walk obediently to the Lord, and you're on your job, and for some reason or the other, they just can't stand the fact that you're a Christian, and every time you go to work, other people just make life difficult for you, and you're in trouble because of that. Or maybe you're in trouble because you're lost a job or something has happened in your job and there is some trouble in your life. Maybe you've just recently handed a pink slip and you think, well, I thought my job was secure, but you really found out that you're in a troubling situation and you're in a crisis and you don't really know what to do. Well, if there's one thing that we don't like to hear and we don't even like the word trouble. There is something about that word, we just don't like to hear it. We don't like to have troubles, and if we'd be honest with ourselves, we'd just assume that a lot of troubles just pass us right on by so we could go on with our living and we could enjoy this life that God has given us. But the truth of Scripture reveals that every one of us are going to have trouble. We live in this world, we live in this human body, and there is something about trouble that God uses in your life and my life to shape us, to make us, to mold us into what is pleasing to Him. And when you get to this one little book, the book of James, you know, you think about, it starts out with a discussion about trouble. And whenever you think about it, you know, we're in this earthly pilgrimage for a number of years, some of us 60, 70, 80, some less, some more. And even one of the Old Testament writers made it clear that, you know, we're in this life for a short time and it's filled with all sorts of troubles. And when James is writing to the saints at in his location, the Jewish Christians, in James chapter 1, he begins by talking to them about troubles that come into their life. Because if you and I are going to be the individuals that are pleasing to the Lord God, there is something that we need to learn about the troubles that come into our life. Now, we don't want to think about them. We don't really like them. But if you look at the life of Jesus, he was one that was faced with trouble. I mean, the religious leaders hated him. People were out to crucify him. And if his was a life of absolute perfection and absolute obedience to the will and agenda of his heavenly Father, then there's one thing that you and I can count on, and it's this, that we are going to have troubles from time to time, but the question is, what are you going to do with your troubles? In James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, I want you to listen carefully, and then I want you to listen carefully as we deal with, beginning this morning, the truth about trouble. Now, there's no way to exhaust the issue of trouble in one message, so we're going to be doing a series on the truth about trouble. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy whenever you fall into diverse temptations. And that simply also carries the meaning of troubles as well. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, James makes it very clear, whenever he's talking about trouble, that it is a reality in every single one of our lives that we are going to face trouble. This one little epistle, this one little letter starts out with count it all joy when you face trouble. So I want you to get your outline out and I want you to follow along because there are some vital truths that you and I need to understand when it comes to the troubles that you and I face in life. Now, every one of us, we're all human beings, we live in this earthly body, and if we would be honest with ourselves, we really don't want trouble. We'd just soon troubles go on to the next person. We don't want them to have it, but be honest, we'd say, well, we'd rather them have it than us. But there is something about the troubles of life that God does into our lives, that he wants you and me to understand. And the one thing that he wants you and me to understand, first of all, is that troubles are a reality in the life of every Christian. Now, James made it very clear. He said, count it all joy when. James did not say that they might come, or if you're living a certain type of life, that troubles are not going to come. Listen, James makes it very clear that the troubles that you and I face in life, that there are going to become troubles in our life. Now, there are troubles that stem out of disobedience. You're walking in rebellion to God and you're not doing what God says. You're going to be like Jonah in the Old Testament. You're going to find out that trouble is going to dog you and it's going to come by your life. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're not walking in obedience to God, if you're not surrendering to Him, and if you're a child of God, then you're on your way to some trouble. Here's why. The God who created you has a right to your life. Amen? He has a right to you. He has a right to me. He has a right to do with us whatever is pleasing to His will. And when a person is saved by the grace of God and they don't listen to the Lord God and they walk their own way, then they're going to have some trouble. You know, Jonah tried to get out of some trouble in his own life, and he realized that if I disobey God and rebel against God, God is going to come after me. But the truth is, troubles are a reality in our life. You may be walking in obedience, and troubles are going to come. You say, well, if I'm walking in obedience, why are troubles going to come in my life? Won't you listen to me very carefully? If you're walking in obedience to the will and the agenda of God, it is an obedient life that is a conflict to a person who is living and walking in rebellion. Jesus never did anything would have caused trouble in his life. He was absolutely pure, absolutely sinless, absolutely perfect. But he did nothing that led people to hate him. But there is something about a righteous life that the average world, the average person in the world, can't stand. You walk in obedience to God on your job. You walk in obedience to God in the school where you're going to school, and you're obedient to the best, and somebody's not going to like you. They're not going to like you because, you know, you worship God, you call out to God, and those that are living in rebellion and walk in rebellion, they're not going to like you at all. And in the life of Jesus, he is the epitome of walking in obedience to God. And yet the Pharisees hated him, the scribes hated him, the Jewish religious leaders hated him. I mean, he was in trouble everywhere he went. And it wasn't trouble of his own doing. Listen, we are going to face trouble. Could be out of disobedience, but if it's out of obedience, listen, God reserves the right to act on behalf of those who walk in obedience to him. And you see, James said, count it all joy when. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to some Christians. In his day and time, they're being rejected, they're being ridiculed. Some of them are going to lay down their life, and they're going through all sorts of trials and difficulties and temptations. And you see, here's the thing about it. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen right very carefully right now. There are certain schools of thought out there that if you're really living the Christian life, you won't have any trouble. If you're really saved by the grace of God, you won't have any trouble. That is not consistent with the living Word of God. Listen, sometimes other people bring trouble into your life. It's not your own doing. You've not done a single thing. And James says, count it all joy, because God is in the process of doing something, and we'll mention this in just a minute, but God is in the process of doing something in and to and through your life whenever you have troubles in your life. And so when a person can't stand to see an obedient saint, they might make life difficult for you. You may even lose your job. You may even lose your job because you're walking in obedience to God. You know, you're doing what God tells you to do, and you're walking in obedience to Him. Let me give you an example. Now, nobody knew this but the Lord, but in one certain job that I was in one time, they were starting to get some product in that was really difficult for me to sell. You know, I was in worked at a men's clothing store for some time, and they was bringing, I believe, in some beer caps or something like that, and they was going to sell them. And I thought, now, Lord, you know I can't be a preacher of the gospel, and here's somebody wanting to buy a beer cap. You say, what's the big deal? It's a big deal to me, and it's a big deal as we bear witness of our Lord. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me out. I don't know what to do. Real simple, I got laid off. Boss came down one day and he said, he didn't know what I'd been praying. I said, Lord, get me out of this job. Well, he got me out of the job all right. Only one problem. There was not another job in sight. And I went home that day to a pregnant wife and I told her, I said, guess what? I got laid off. She said, no, you didn't. And I said, oh, yes, I did. And then the tears started rolling and I was in trouble, or I thought I was in trouble. Now listen, can you be in trouble because you're obedient? Yes. Listen, does this world we live in love the Lord? No. The Bible says, you know, we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. You ever feel like you just can't fit in and don't fit in this world? We don't fit in. Our land is not the land that we're living in right now because this one is tarnished and we feel funny. And you know, you think, I love this world, but it's so wicked and it's beautiful, but you know, people are doing ungodly things and we just don't fit in. And so one of the reasons that you have trouble is because we don't fit in. We stand for Jesus. We stand for truth. Listen, you know what? You know, we don't want to make anybody upset and anybody angry, but have you ever noticed just standing for Jesus gets some people all irritated, angry, and mad and hot and bothered? And we're not desired to make anybody angry, but listen, Jesus is our Savior, He's our Lord, and He's the one that we follow. We don't march to the drumbeat of this world. Jesus didn't intend to make anybody mad. He didn't intend to make anybody angry, but listen, you either are of one kingdom or you're of the other kingdom. And those who hated Jesus, despised him, you know, there was something about his holy life. Now, I want you to listen. It may be your holy life that is making somebody else really mad or angry at you. If so, just keep walking obediently. God assumes the full consequences of your obedience. Listen, back to my trouble situation a few moments ago, I went to my wife and I told her, I said, I'm out of a job. Now, I don't know if you'd call it a troubling situation to be out of a job, but I was out. No more income. And I thought, Lord, you know what I need. And he did. And so I looked around, and nothing. And all of a sudden, applied to this one job, and a few weeks, got a call and went to that job and worked there for a period of time. And the Lord showed me, Benny, I will assume the consequences for your obedience, and made about three times what I made in that job that I got laid off. Now, there are going to come troubling times in your life, but listen, if you will keep the course of obedience to God, God assumes the responsibility for coming to your rescue. He will always come to the rescue of that man, that woman, that boy or girl who is obedient to God. Number two, and you know, one of the things we don't like to think about are when troubles come. You know, James says, count it all joy. But second of all, you and I need to understand that troubles oftentimes come quickly into our life. You know, there are three very interesting words when you look in verse 2. And they're just simple words, when you fall. Now, let me give you a little background as to the meaning of those words. Those words were oftentimes used whenever a thief broke into a home, and the same uses as sudden, quick, unexpected. One of the things that you need to anticipate in your life is this. When troubles come, they don't ever say, now, you need to get into church, and you need to get a lot of studying because I'm going to come when you get spiritually prepared. Troubles come quickly. And James says, you know, they're going to come in your life whether you expect it, and just like a thief, he comes unannounced. He doesn't say when he's going to come, but he does come. All of a sudden, here's what happens. One day, everything's going good for you, and everything's going wonderful, everything's going well, and lo and behold, before that day is over, some troubles come into your life. It may be out of obedience, or it may be out of disobedience, but listen, God still has a purpose in both sides if you'll respond wisely. And you see, here's what James is saying. You know, it was the heart of James that these believers learn a significant fact that God has a divine purpose in your specific troubles. Now, let me tell you how long it took me to learn that. I guess I was probably in my late 20s before I really, really was learning that truth. Here's what would happen in my own life. Some trouble would come. I'd wanted to get out of my life so I could go on living. And then little did I realize that God would have to allow me to have some more trouble and difficulty because that trouble was not an accident. I want you to understand this, that trouble in the economy of God is never an accident. Trouble that you're in, whether it's unintentional or intentional, whether it's out of disobedience or out of obedience, it always has a divine purpose from the Heavenly Father. Listen, does God oversee everything that happens in our life? Sure He does. As a matter of fact, you know, he knows everything that's going to come into your life, and knows everything that comes into my life. And, you know, troubles are going to come. And, you know, they're going to come quickly. And, you know, sometimes we want to think, well, you know, if they come, why do they come to me? There is something that you can never learn. Some things you can never learn in life without trouble. There are some things you can never learn in life without trouble. And James made it very clear. He said there is a divine plan. But he said, I want you to understand that troubles, there's a purpose for them. And you see, sometimes it's not a sign of disobedience or rebellion, as I mentioned a moment ago. You know, there are two schools of thought. And here's one school of thought. You know, every trouble that I face, it's because of me, it's because of sin, it's because, what did I do wrong? Well, now, granted, that can be the case. You know, you're speeding down the road, 85 miles an hour, and all of a sudden these blue lights come on. And the speed limit is 70 miles an hour. And you get pulled over, and he writes you a ticket for 140, 50, 60, 70, whatever it is. And he hands you that, and he says, have a good day. And I heard about one person one time. It was a special day in his life, and he said, well, you know, this is a special day. I think it may have been his birthday, and the policeman said, well, happy birthday, and still handed him the ticket. Now, that trouble is out of disobedience, and every one of us, or most all of us, probably are guilty at that point, but there are those times where it's not of rebellion. It's out of an obedient lifestyle. It's something that comes into your life because other people can't stand your life. Listen, don't you dare think for a moment that troubles are coming into your life and some people really get discouraged. God, what are you doing to me? Are you mad at me? Are you upset? Are you angry? Listen, the Bible says in this, and I love it in the Living Bible, says, when the way gets tough, when the way gets tough, then your faith has a chance to grow. So let it grow and don't try to squirm out of your troubles. You know what we try to do sometimes? We try to squirm out of our trouble and we just want to go. We forget sometimes that we're created by Him and created for Him. Listen, your life is for eternal value. You're not here for 60, 70, 80, 90 years. You're created for eternity. And therefore, if I'm created for eternity, God is going to grow me, and He's thinking eternity in mind. Listen, don't you dare think your life is over when you get to be 90 or 100 or whatever, and you've lived your life, as we call it. Your life's never over. And so what James is saying, he said, you need to count it all joy. You know, and one of the things that you find in the Old Testament is that God uses troubles to grow us. Now, look at number four. Troubles are used by God to grow and develop patience in the life of believers. Now, I want you to notice something very carefully. There appears to be a statement in James chapter 1, verse 2, that makes absolutely no sense at all. And I want to say that very clearly and very carefully so you'll know that I meant it. James chapter 1, verse 2, I want you to notice what he says. My brethren, count it all, what's the next word? Joy. When you fall into divers temptations or troubles. Lord, what do you mean I should count it joy? Have you ever found something that appears to be a liability now is an asset later? Let me give you an example. For years, my dad pastored churches and we moved from Tennessee and he moved to Kentucky and moved northeast Kentucky. And Dad had a farm in southeast Tennessee. And when he moved to northeast Kentucky, farm was dormant, put some cattle on it, let them. And it was in some ways a liability. He'd have to go back and check on them every so often, but he kept the farm. And sometimes I'd wonder, Dad, why are you keeping this farm? Of course, he knew a whole lot more than I did. And it was a liability at first, but it's an asset now. It's where he's gone back to settle and lives and had, you know, enjoyed his senior years. Now, there are some things in life, for a moment in time, they appear to be a liability. And James says, count it all joy. Why should you and I count it joy when we've got trouble? I want you to listen very carefully. Does God know more than you do? Say amen. Could it be that God is doing something through your troubles that you don't even think about or conceive about or even wonder, and you don't understand your trouble? You don't understand why you're in what you're in. You haven't the foggiest clue. And yet God is doing something in your troubles that you never realized. If you'll look all throughout the Old Testament, a search of Scripture reveals there is not a great man in the Bible or a woman in the Bible, but what they were first made through trouble. I think about how Moses, he faced the Israelites and he led 2 million people. Can you imagine leading 2 million people? Can you imagine the grumbling and complaining from time to time they did? God provided for them. But have you ever noticed us? It's too hot. It's too cold. It's rained too much or it's not rained enough. What would the weather be like over you if it was just the way you wanted? Can you imagine? And you listen to us and you say, here's Moses. Had he not had a right understanding of why God allowed some troubles into his life, he could have got off course. Had Joseph in the Old Testament not had a right understanding of the troubles in his life, he would have got off course. Now watch very carefully. And I want you to look at verse 2 and verse 3 again. He says, knowing this. Now, what in the world should I thank God for trouble. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working, say the next word, patience. Are you an impatient person? Don't you dare answer that out loud. You say, yes, Pastor, when will you be done? So many of us are impatient, but have you ever noticed what impatience gets us? Some people are dead and will die today because they won't even stop at a red light. They've got to go whenever they want to go. They won't stop at a stop sign. They got to go when they need to go. And one of the things that mess our lives up is our impatience. We get in messes. We get in financial messes. We get in relationship messes because we don't wait on the Lord. You know, David said, wait on the Lord and he will exalt you. In other words, wait patiently, he said, on the Lord. And what James is saying is this. He said, I want you to understand that God is doing something in your troubles to grow you up. You know, to make you mature. You know, hopefully you're more mature than you was when you was 5 years old, 10 years old. You grow and you learn. You know, go back to some of those TV shows that I watched as a little boy, and I thought, I actually watched that. You know, you grow and you mature. James says, you and I need to understand that God is doing something in developing patience. Patience is a big deal in the sight of God. Listen, whenever it comes to patience, you're patient with your children. You're patient with your spouse. And in the sight of God, you know, in the life of Paul, can you imagine if he had got impatient? He could have called it quits, thrown in the towel, and just quit. Listen, there's a point in every one of us that there's some things that we just are impatient about. Here's what James has said. God knows that there is something in your life that is of noble quality, and that's learning to be patient. Are you patient with others? Don't you dare answer that either. You see, patience is a big deal to the Father. Patience, and you may be in trouble after trouble after trouble, and I hear some people from time to time, they're always in trouble. Have you ever thought that God is allowing you that trouble? He's wanting to teach you to be patient. Let me give you an example. Don't you dare answer this, but how many of you wish, you heard this, you know, you hear somebody say, I wish I just waited on buying that vehicle. There was another one at a better price, but I bought this one. It was such a good deal at $35,000. And here was one guy was going to sell me. All he wanted was, and it was a good vehicle. All he wanted was $9,000. Patience is its own virtue. There was a time in my own life, and I was praying for a vehicle, and I didn't know where to look for this particular vehicle, and Lord just brought it by my life, and I said, Lord, you know what I can pay? You know what I can afford? And the man was so gracious, he worked the price down, and he came down of his own initiative, and I didn't have to say anything. You see, the thing about it is, you know, if you try to squirm out of your troubles, you're never going to grow and be what God wants you to be. Now, listen to me real carefully. Here's where we miss it so badly. We forget God's got an agenda for you. You see, we think, well, you know what? Here's what I want to do with my life. Have you ever asked the Father what He wants out of your life? And you see, sometimes we get ourselves in such messes, we get in such trouble, we get in predicaments, all because we don't back up and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I'm trying to teach you to be patient. Let me give you an example. Here's a young man, he wants to get married. I mean, all the fiber in his being, he wants to get married, and he's not patient. And he goes out on a date, maybe the first girl he's dated, and boy, he loves her. He's in love with her, he thinks. Let's get married. He says, will you? She says, yes, I will. And so about 6 weeks later, they're impatient, and they walk to the altar and they get married. He knows he shouldn't have, but he's impatient. She's impatient. And guess what they get to live with? That 6 weeks of dating, and all of a sudden they realize, what in the world have I got myself into? They're married, and he grows to detest her and despise her and hate her and vice versa. Their life is a living hell on earth because he wouldn't be patient. She wouldn't be patient. This person tries to get a job and he won't wait on God to open the door. Listen, you don't have to wait on God. You can mess your life up if you desire, but God says, blessed are those who wait patiently on the Lord. And you see, when you wait, there's all sorts of wonderful benefits. Here's a person, they don't want to wait on a house. They've got to have it next year. And so they manipulate and squirm and get everything. Interest rates gone up, and they don't really find the house, but they got to have a house. And they get in a house, and their payment's only $1,200 a month. And they're doing fairly good. They can afford, you know, they can afford that as long as they live on peanut butter and jelly. And they don't wait. And all of a sudden, 6 months down the road, somebody's getting ready to sell a house, was in a contract, all because they would not wait on the Lord. You can mess your life up when you don't wait. And God says, if you'll allow some trouble to teach you, you can learn great patience, and you can learn to do the right thing, the right way, the wise way, all because you wait. I think about this facility we're in now, how God has blessed. Many of you know, as part of the facility across the road, how we waited and seemed like gravitating back and forth, not knowing, and how God is blessed. And I think about, we waited. I think about the long hours a lot of the women put in cooking and fixing and baking and men working. But you know, and I can say this to the glory of the Father, this building has never become a liability in and of itself. It's always been a wonderful, because we've never had any difficulty financially. You know why? Because we waited. And you see, the thing about it is, you know, there's all sorts of things that happen to you and for you. Some things just fall in your lap when you wait on the Lord. You say, how do you know? I'll tell you what, you wait on God, He'll let some things fall in your lap. My oldest brother called this morning, and something's fallen in his lap, and he said, Benny, what is a 95 Lincoln worth? And he's come across something that seems to be a good deal, and he said, I think I'm gonna take it. He said, it's just come across my life. And you see, some things just come across when you're patient. You know why? Because that patient person waits on God. That patient couple, they in love with each other, but you know what they say? We're going to go when God says. And so they get married in God's timing. They've got the endorsement of God, and they just, everything is a blessing from beginning to end, all because they waited. And you see, whenever it comes to waiting, there's all sorts of benefits. But if you had tried to squirm out of your trouble and never learn how to grow, one of the reasons that so many people are in trouble, They're trying to squirm out of trouble. They're not willing to learn. And they know it all. There's some people who know it all, and so they've just got to end up living a miserable wreck. Why? Because if you know it all, God's not going to teach you anything. And there's some people who know everything, and God can't teach them one single thing because they know everything. And James says, don't squirm out of your trouble. You say, James, you don't know what I'm in. Listen, God has the same plan and agenda for every believer's life, for every person's life that will listen. Did God create you to give you 10th, 20th, 50th best? Did God create you for just to get by? Listen, he said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus said, I want you to live. I don't want you to live on error and mistake and mistake and mistake and mistake. I want you to learn in the troubles that come into your life. I want you to learn through them. God, what are you trying to teach me through this trouble? What are you trying to teach me through this hardship? What are you trying to teach me? Maybe you're hospitalized. Maybe God's trying to get your attention about something in your health, the health issues in your life, what you're doing to your body and in your body. You see, one of the things that we don't want to think about, and I want you to listen, this is going to hurt. We don't want to think sometimes we're our own undoing. We want to think it's always somebody else's fault, but sometimes our trouble is our own fault. Well, number five, troubles are designed to bring us to see our ultimate need for the Lord. You say, well, why do I face trouble? I'm just handling life and seem like everything's going good, and all of a sudden I've got to go call the pastor. I've got to see the pastor because I'm in some trouble, because I need to see what God's doing. Wonderful. You know why? Don't you want your children to need you, parents? You know, aren't you glad your child calls you up from time to time? Mom, Dad, what would you all do in this situation? They're in a little jam and nothing to you. You know exactly where they're at, and they're talking to you. And I said, what would you do in this situation? So you counsel them and you give them advice, because their trouble has driven them to turn to you. Now listen to me real carefully. Can anything be that bad if it causes us to turn and depend upon the Lord? No. You see, if God knows you're living independently of Him, now you don't have to listen to what I'm going to say next, but it will determine what happens in your life. If God knows you're living independently of Him, trouble's on its way. You say, why, Pastor? Because He wants you to understand that you really need Him. Do you think He created you for you to ignore Him? Do you think He created you for you to turn your back on Him and live independently of Him? And so here's what He's going to do. And maybe you've already found it, or you're in the process. He's allowed some trouble to come into your life. You misunderstand it, but all of a sudden you realize, God, there's a purpose for this trouble. Now, trouble will never stay when you respond wisely. You see, one of the wisest examples is Jonah. When he was in the belly of the fish, the whale, he was down in the lower part of the earth. Can you imagine being on the inside of a whale? Now, you may feel like sometimes you're being eaten up, but I would have no idea what it'd be like to look around and all you see is the tonsils of a whale. You know, that's all you see. You see the tongue and the tonsils, and you're inside. But listen, he was in trouble. He was independent of God, lived independent. He was walking in rebellion to God. But watch what happened. When he was on the inside of that whale and he got on his knees and he cried out to the Lord God, that was the point of his liberation. Now, the Bible says the whale vomited him up, and for a time, I bet he was awfully smelly. But he got out of his situation because he realized why he was there. Now, listen to me very carefully. Troubles are not designed to devastate you, and troubles will never destroy you. You say, now, Pastor, yes, they will. No, they won't. A trouble has never destroyed a single person on the face of the earth. Their response to the trouble is the determining factor. You see, if you determine that this trouble is out to defeat you and devastate you, then you're gone. But if you turn to the God who created you and you realize, God, why? Why am I in a financial mess? And listen to him. Why can I not make my monthly payment on my credit card? Why am I in a relationship mess? Listen to him. Listen to people that love you around you. And he'll tell you. And if you'll listen, he'll deliver you. But you know the sad reality about it is, some people will never be delivered out of trouble. And here's why. They will never listen. They will never listen to the teaching of the Word of God. They won't listen to the preaching of the Word of God. They won't listen to the messengers of God. They won't listen to parents. They won't listen to friends. They won't listen to anybody under God's heaven. And here's the reality of what must happen to their life. Scripture bears it out. They will utterly be destroyed. You see, God has a way of letting us know he's really in control. You're really created for him. You're designed for him. You're made for him. You have your living and your moving and your breathing in him. And the worst trouble in the world is to die without him. Friend, you think trouble now, there is an eternal trouble waiting you if you reject the sinless Son of God as your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed, every eye closed,